Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Fan Morning Show. Happy Baby Friday. I'm JD Bunkus. Ailish Forfar with me. Always love getting to catch up with our next guest. This Insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. It's sports enterprise reporter for the Washington Post, which is about as great of a handle as you can have in this business. It's Michael Lee. What's up, man? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing well. We feel like we're a part of this finals now up north because of the Andrew Wiggins story. Like, we feel very involved now. None of us gave up on Andrew Wiggins. It was only you guys south of the border. We never questioned the intensity. We never questioned the effort. We always believed that Andrew Wiggins would be this when he was picked first overall out of Kansas. I am curious how you interpret this story, because I'm kind of... Okay, there's been a lot of – the situation is solely responsible for the good and the bad with Andrew Wiggins. Like, you look at Minnesota and the way they develop players, and they got all his worst habits, and he goes to Golden State, and now you're seeing this player emerge, right? All of the promise of the kid from Kansas, or at least the kid that headed to Kansas. And there almost feels like there's this abdication of personal responsibility in his story. Yeah, we're all rooting for Wiggins right now. I think we all love to see a redemption story or a redemption arc. But I am curious kind of like the way you're feeling about Andrew Wiggins and how he's arrived in this finals.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the environment, you know, and where you are. You know, if you go somewhere and the soil is rotten, you're not going to grow. But if you go somewhere where the soil is being nurtured and it's already produced beautiful flowers, then there's a chance that when you get there, you're going to grow into who you're supposed to be. And that's really what they're going to look at. You know, there's a reason why Minnesota went through that long 15 or so year non-playoff drought. You know, that's because the organization didn't have any structure, didn't have anything that you could lean on to just for positive reinforcement. The minute he got traded to Golden State, I thought it was a wonderful move by the Warriors because they could plug him right in at the wing position. And as you know how the NBA's been going the last couple of years, if you have an elite wing, you have a chance to win a championship. But if you have a wing who can guard elite wings, then that can really elevate you. And you look at the way the Warriors were built, Klay Thompson had been their defensive stopper, but this is a guy who's going to be coming off an ACL injury. And then obviously once he ruptures his Achilles, that puts him back even further as your main perimeter guarder. But now he's in a position where he just has to be the best Andrew Wiggins. He doesn't have to be a franchise savior. He doesn't have to be the face of a franchise. Those are responsibilities not everybody can handle, and he definitely wasn't up for that task. But as a member of the Warriors, where all they ask you to do is just go out there and whatever you give us, we'll make the most of it because we have Steph Curry. It's just been an excellent fit for him. You know, I say Steph Curry is the modern, he's the guard version of Tim Duncan. And if you look at how the Spurs built a dynasty in that time, they basically allowed all these players come in who had these flaws and just asked them to just accentuate their strengths or focus on their strengths. And then you have a better a team that has a chance to win a championship.
Yeah, you even look back to the motivations of the trades. Like, the Warriors looked at it through, they could add a top-tier draft asset from an organization that had not had any success for, as you mentioned, 15 years, to take on a wing player, which was the direction the league was going, in a reclamation project as a first overall pick who at least had shown flashes. And Minnesota's impetus was, well, we can get a guy who is friends with Karl Anthony Towns. So, yeah.
One thing I just want to add about Wiggins is I think a lot of people had this misconception that because he wasn't a franchise savior that he was a scrub. And I was always offended by that. I'm like, this guy averaged 20 points a game in the NBA, which is hard to do. Even if you're on a bad team, it's hard to average 20 points a game. And if you can do that, you have some ability, you have some talent. And people are acting like, you know, this guy was averaging 2 points a game, like he was Kwame Brown or somebody. Like, this is a guy who was, you know, has all-star talent, which just was not in a elite situation. He's in a bad situation, and now he's in a good one. And he doesn't have to play, I got to get 25 a night. If he gets 25 one game a series, that's excellent. Give us 15 the rest of the way, and we're good to go.
See, people in Toronto do think 20 points a game is meaningless in the NBA because Mike James did it here. And so now we have no perception of what that actually means for the rest of the NBA.
He did.
He was honestly, I don't even really mean to disparage it because there was not a lot of fun times being a Raptors fan for a very long time in that era. And Mike James actually was an entertaining player. And like, there's a reason why I still remember his name in the 20 points per game. So yeah, I'm with you. There was always more to give with Wiggins, but I think that was kind of the frustrating point or why people thought it was so bad, right? It wasn't just like, hey, this guy is scoring 20 points or it's all Minnesota. It was like, I remember the story when he got his contract of he promised the owner he's going to try harder, right? And you go, God, this is the temperament of the player. And that's what I think is a little bit, I don't want to say shocking, because it's not shocking to see someone give it their all in an NBA Finals, but kind of like, if you're a Minnesota fan, you're watching this and going, yeah, maybe we didn't need you to be the man here, but could you have not tried to rebound? Like, now all of a sudden you're ripping 14 of those from the sky. Now you're defending with like this real ferocity game in, game out. And again, it's the NBA Finals, so it's a tough to compare that to Minnesota, you know, playing the Pelicans on a Tuesday night. But there is just some of this where I'm looking at it and saying, like, with Wiggins, okay, I can't be fully pissed off at Minnesota for abandoning him when like a lot of the compete stuff wasn't there for a very, very long time.
Yeah, but you also got to figure, you know, in the NBA, money's guaranteed. So if you have nothing else to play for and the money's going to come, then what's the point of, like, going hard? I mean, that's for a lot of guys. I mean, if you're going to get your head bashed in anyway, why am I going to put forth the effort to just, you know, give it my all to lose? In Golden State, there's an incentive there. There's an incentive because they have something to play for. I mean, when you're playing with three guys likely headed to the Hall of Fame, you know, and they all know how to win, and you got an organization that's willing to spend the money that's needed to build a winner and make the right trades and acquire the talent that's needed, that's going to change your mindset. It's like, oh, you mean I can play this game for more than just a check? You mean I actually can chase rings and respect? Oh, my gosh. Right. Let me see what this feels like. And, you know, he's getting rewarded for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And again, it's phenomenal watching him do this because, again, so many of us in Canada feel involved because we were with this guy since he was in high school. We gave him the nickname Maple Jordan. And
Maple Jordan.
Yeah, he's turning out to be. Yeah, it was a little much. It was a little bit embarrassing when the career started to go the way that it was. But yeah, now you're at least feeling as though like you invested in something worthwhile. Like again, we watched highlights of this guy when he was playing in Canada when he was still in grade 10, and we were very excited. Like we've tracked him forever. I think that he gave like a lot of Canadian basketball fans like an education in the sport in terms of like we learned more about prep schools because of Andrew Wiggins going down to Finley Prep and like that what that decision was like. We learned about more college basketball because people were invested in watching his entire season. Like he kind of nationalized a little bit more of like the high end prospect development track. And yeah, I think we've been with him all along, especially when people thought he was gonna be drafted with LeBron. Like there was a whole thing with him of him being left out of that email or that SI letter. Like just people have been with him for the ride. And so yeah, to see this, it has been validating, especially since like he's doing it next to a guy who is on a run right now that is going to be like the imprint run, like the stamp run for Steph Curry. He has that pretty miserable game by his standards, right? And they escape with the win, and that's why Wiggins' name is forefront here. But I guess this is sort of a two-parter. But, like, yeah, what are your expectations of Curry tonight? And does he need to have a big closing game to kind of, like, finalize that I'm a top-10 guy? Or has that already been done for you, no matter how they win this series?
I don't really get in the rankings, you know, because I feel like that just sort of diminishes the whole of appreciation of these guys. You know, it's hard to be, you know, one of the best players in your era, let alone one of the greatest of all time. And we know that Steph is already that. And I think that this whole it's been a misnomer about him and that he doesn't show up in the finals and he doesn't have great performances or great finals performances. He has a litany of them. He has a ton of them. And if you look at all the championships they won, they don't win if he's not playing at a high level. They don't win if he's not averaging, you know, 25 a game. You know, people think that Kevin Durant came there and averaged 30, you know, in the finals and everybody else was getting two. No, they were winning because they had Steph Curry there too, who was playing just at a high level. And honestly, when they won in 2018, you know, after the first two games, people were saying Steph was going to be finals MVP, but he had his one clunker there in game three and KD had 43. And that's where he pretty much won the finals MVP. But Steph has been doing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Steph's been doing this. Like when he had 43 the other night and everybody's like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest performance in Steph Curry's career. He's never done this before. I'm like, did anybody forget that he got 47 against the Raptors? You know,
he lost.
Like, he was dropping. He did, but I'm saying he's still – he had 47, yeah. You know? Like, it's not like he didn't show up, you know? And I think that's the one thing that I don't want people to think that this is the only time that Steph's played well. And for me, it's sort of offensive. And I think he's such a petty guy that's been fuel for him that he's still playing this elite level at age 34, primarily because people try to belittle him and downgrade him based off some stupid vote that occurred in 2015, you know, where he didn't win the finals MVP. And I was there. I covered that series, and I understood the hype around Andre Iguodala, you know, the switch. But that wasn't Andre Iguodala wasn't what won in the series. The switch allowed Steph to get loose, and he had 37 in game five, which was the most critical game of that whole series. He had 37 in that game when they really needed it. And that changed the whole, you know, that changed the whole series around. And that was Steph at the forefront. But people don't really want to look back and see what he's done and appreciate what he's done. He's been great all of this time. It didn't just happen. And if people think that this series is what he needs to put him over the top, then they haven't been watching. Like, I've been watching his entire career. He's been doing it for a long time. He doesn't even need to win this championship to validate who he is and what he's done. If he gets it, that's fine. But he is already set. This man is one of the greatest we've ever seen, and not just one of the greatest shooters we've ever seen, one of the greatest basketball players we've ever seen. People talk all the time about how Kyrie Irving is the most skilled guy we've ever seen in the back. No, there's nothing that Kyrie can do that Steph can't do. He's got a crisp handle, an incredible handle off the dribble. He can shoot off the dribble. He can shoot off screens. He can shoot off every way you want. He can score in any way you want, and he can finish at the rim. He can get to the rim as a small guy. For a small guy to impact the game the way he has, to have a team in the finals for the sixth time and a chance for four rings, and people are like, well, this is the series that he needs to show up and show who he is. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that people question anything about Steph Curry when he's proven it for at least the last 7 years that he's one of the best to ever do it. And I don't need anybody to try to explain that this is the series that he needs because he's already got it.
So with Curry solidifying that or already having that type of status in your mind, do you think that Boston is the better team overall, or have the Warriors taken that title from you with this chance to close it out tonight?
I came in thinking that the Celtics were the better team because they had more depth. They had, you know, they could play. They were a great defensive team, and I still think that's the case. I think most of their defeats have been self-inflicted. You know, just from lapses. They always had these lapses against other teams in the playoffs, but the other teams couldn't make them pay. The Warriors can. You know, when they have those awful stretches on the offense where they can't get a bucket and they can't get to the free throw line, or they just throw the ball all over the place. The Warriors are over there just hitting threes and having a party and having a good time. And that's been the one difference in this series and why they're down now is because they haven't been able to keep that focus and sustain it for long enough. And whenever they do get down, they have a team that can, you know, just punish them like nobody else. So I still think that they have a chance to, you know, make this a 7-game series and possibly even upset them because they have won in San Francisco before. But they just got to somehow figure out how to play a 48-minute game and keep it going. We've seen them play well so far. In the first three games, we saw them do it twice. And just the last two games, they just haven't been able to keep it together. But I think that they're a really good team. I'm not willing to bury them and say that the series is over because I don't think it is. But they've got to actually prove it. And we're still waiting on that first really good Jason Tatum game where we can say, oh, yeah, this kid's next. And I think that he's capable of having one, and maybe tonight's the night.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Boston is the better team, but you really are seeing, okay, well, one, they don't have the best player in a series, and that's obviously, like, this is the NBA. That matters so much. Yeah. And, like, I almost feel like we, I don't think we forget that sometimes, but I think that we discount it to a certain degree. And, yeah, the Tatum thing, him and Jaylen Brown, like, Jaylen Brown's had moments, and obviously Tatum, throughout the playoffs has kind of been up and down, and when the highs have been really high, they've been incredible. I'm torn on this one because he's only 24. I think Brown is 25. Do you think this is just like a, this is too much too soon? This is a lot of, this is pressure. This is fatigue on guys who've never gone this deep. This is underestimating the Warriors' defense. Like, this is just like, what's your theory as to why we have not been able to see like these two guys have a night together? And I guess Tatum a little bit more specifically, because I think Brown's had more of like, he's been, if we had to vote Celtics MVP, I think he'd be ahead of Tatum right now. But yeah, where are you at just in terms of theories as to why we haven't seen these two be quite at their very best throughout this together?
Because they got a team on the other side that defends as just as well or better so far. I got to give credit to the Warriors defense. You know, they've really been able to just get into their heads in a way that nobody else has. You know, and that's really knocked them off course. I think coming in, the problem I've seen with Tatum is that a lot of his issues early on were mental. I think he came in thinking, well, I've arrived, so that means I have to perform at this level and put up these number of points and play like a superstar. I got to be Kobe Bryant. I got to have this Mamba mentality or whatever else he's probably told himself going in, when all he really needs to do is just play basketball and be who he's been throughout this entire season, and especially this playoff run. He hasn't been playing at that level because for whatever reason, he feels he has to play at a higher level than he already has, and he doesn't need to do that. And I think that sort of made it tough for him to come the way he should. He's overthinking it. You can see it in just some of the passes that he makes. You can see it in the fact that some of the shots that he makes, he's shooting hero shots, fallaways and fadeaways and all these things. And I'm like, you're 6'10". What are you doing backing up when you got a smaller guy on you? Like, there's so many things that he's doing now that he wasn't doing in the first three rounds. And if I'm a Celtics fan, I'm highly frustrated. But like I said, one of the reasons why I picked the Celtics, I thought the Celtics were going to win this series, was because of Jaylen Brown. Because if you look at who the Warriors have defeated throughout this playoff, they always have that one superstar who's been able to get off and get his. They never had that second guy who could step up and do it. I thought Jaylen Brown could be that guy for the Celtics, and he's done it in spurts, but he hasn't done it consistently. And we just haven't seen a Tatum-Brown game. You know, it's not even just having a Tatum game, but just the two of them playing great at the same time. And if you can't get your best player to have his best game at any point, and you can't get either one of those guys to play together at the same time, then you're setting yourself up for failure. And that's basically what we've seen from the Celtics so far.
19 seasons covering the NBA. You can follow him on Twitter at Mr. Michael Lee, Sports Enterprise reporter for the Washington Post. Thanks so much for making time today, man. Enjoy game six.
Oh, for sure. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Take care. Michael Lee. And that insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. His Steph comments are really interesting, because I think that's where I was at more before the series, where I was like defensive of Steph, right? Where I was like, no, he doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anything. And to a degree, I think that is true, in that Steph is already among the game's greatest players ever. But, like, he said that thing where he goes, for a guy his size to impact the game that way. Yeah, he gets to go down as the guy that's his size to impact the game that way. That's already done. When we're doing, like, greatest point guards now of all time, I know Magic was a point guard, but Magic also, you know, started his legacy, quote unquote, I shouldn't say legacy because won at Michigan, but I mean, like, his NBA mythos starts with that game six against Philadelphia where he plays center. Like, he was a huge man. He broke the mold in terms of being so big at the position. Steph Curry isn't that. Steph Curry would walk into a room, he would walk into a party for anybody, and yeah, you'd stand out of being a little bit tall, like a little bit more muscular, a little bit better looking than everybody else at your party, but it's he's not standing out, like, you're not looking at him going, oh my God, like when you stand next to Blake Griffin. He's the only one to do it quite like this. So from that standpoint, yes. But I still believe that this one matters more in terms of when we're looking at this 20 years from now, this is his finals. Like he already mentioned it, the 2015 one, I know he was there and we all watched it, but we will remember that 2015 finals for LeBron and the loss and the Iguodala thing, which the Iguodala thing is funny because now we look back on it like it was the biggest travesty ever, and yet it's kind of like up and down, back and forth. Mm-hmm. We look at it like, oh, it was the worst. But in the moment, it felt debatable anyways. He wasn't the MVP. Steph Curry should have that. But it's not about like the MVP. It's about being the best guy on a winning team in your prime where you can just take over. And we saw that throughout the first parts of the series. He had that clunker, and I do think this can go two ways now. If he has another clunker and they find a way to lose this series, people are going to go, see, that's why like Kevin Durant was so important for them to win. They wouldn't have won those titles without KD. He wouldn't have beat LeBron. Like, I just know how this goes from a narrative standpoint. If he wins it, all that stuff becomes, they never needed KD. They could have won those series with just Steph doing this. Like, go on down the line. So I think it's a balance. I think the balance is you still need to recognize Steph Curry's place in history, obviously, and the impact that he's had on the game and the caliber of player in which he is. I loved his Kyrie point because that's so true. We always gush about Kyrie's skill, and even a lot of that came from KD when he first talked about Kyrie on podcasts and said he was more skilled than Allen Iverson and kind of overlooked Steph Curry. But that this also from a legacy standpoint, I still believe is the most important series of Steph's career. He's been out of the finals for years. He's doing this with different versions of Hall of Fame teammates that are no longer Hall of Fame caliber players against a team that we all universally agree is a better all-around team in a market that is very famed and will remember this finals and has a big piece of NBA legacy. And yeah, it's big. So the stakes tonight are huge. If Steph Curry goes out there tonight, balls, drops another 40-point game, you better believe that when he retires that they're going to be rolling clips from that maybe to close it. We're not going to we did not have a Hall of Fame night. We had our Steph Curry clunker. We had our Game 5.
It's okay. It's how we respond. It's how we bounce back. It's like Steph tonight.
It was our heat check night, and the heat was checked.
It was cold.
Yeah, it was cold. The Wake and Rake bounces back, hopefully, next on the Fan Morning Show with JD and Ailish, Sports at 590 The Fan.
The smartest takes on the biggest stories in sports. The Fan Drive Time with Ben Ennis and Stephen Brunt. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of back.
Show me the money.
With JD, Blake, and Ailish.
Wake up, you piece of
it's Baby Friday. Ailish Forfar about to skip off to Montreal. I'm curious. We're going to have Ailish props again, which she does very well. She does so well that actually different parts of the company are now stealing her material.
Oh, yeah. I saw that Looney Dogs under.
I know. It's okay.
Who did that?
Don't worry about it.
It's just, just happens to be a thing that
imitation is the greatest form of flattery.
I can't believe you got that.
You know
right.
What's an
I was
even
waiting Ailish to if
I like, was thinking in my brain am like,
oh my god,
up.
I was like I was
well yeah.
I watched you do that and I literally was frozen was going if we could have done a live bet, because this is the Wake and Rake. Brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. Had Unibet said, freeze time, we're going to throw up live odds that Ailish gets a colloquialism correct, I would have said, Eilish gets that wrong somewhere, -10,000 based on the fact that that's, I think that's an unprecedented win. Like what just happened is now in the future, we will look back on things like Leicester City's win and Eilish getting that right as brothers in arms as the biggest upsets that we have seen.
People thought I was tuned out for the weekend. I'm dialed in.
For anyone who doesn't know, the character Ricky from Trailer Park Boys is based on Eilish.
Yeah.
even though that show started in 2001.
It's water under the fridge. It's water under the fridge. It's not rocket
appliances.
Two birds
stone.
Yeah, it's not rocket appliances. It's the way that Eilish Forfar delivers those nice. Those things.
Well,
so
winning.
Yeah, at least you won something. At least you won something. Yeah, Eilish is heading down again to Montreal this weekend. She's obviously very flush because it's an incredibly expensive ticket. So I'm guessing
we won three Wake and Rakes in a row. What do you think?
Yeah, and then we blew it all yesterday. We blew it all early. I hate myself for not just sticking with the Chicago White Sox beating up this Detroit Tigers team theme. Might be a little... preview of my gambling moving forward is just like, if you're playing Detroit, I like you. It's like, I think that there's going to be a lot of good times betting against Detroit, especially when maybe, you know, Major League Baseball's ERA leader is facing them tonight. Just saying, there could be a little bit of a bet there today from old JD.
The Jays side of me, though, is like, well, he's the only guy in the conversation with Alek Manoah to, like, start the All-Star game. So get shelled, Martin Perez.
Yeah. Well, can I be honest? If you really think Martin Perez is better than Alek Manoah, like, I know All-Star games are based on... Yeah. But there is a lot of fraudulentness to this Martin Perez.
Oh, the guy only striking out 7 batters per 9 in the modern MLB has a 2.18 ERA in a pitcher in a hitter's ballpark. That's coming back down to earth. It just might not come back down to earth against the Detroit Tigers because, as we saw, not a team that punishes you.
So I'm going to start with the Toronto Blue Jays before we move to the NBA Finals, and then we'll do our best bets and wherever these things lie. We'll do it. I'm going to the Jays game today, so I'm betting the home team. That's my rule. I love to bet the home team. It's just a fun way to do it. But yes, it is Kevin Gausman Day. Hasn't been quite as Kevin Gausman-y as he was earlier in the year. And by that, I mean, like, he didn't walk anyone. He struck out everybody. And he looked completely unhittable. And we talked about that splitter being the best pitch in baseball. Now hitters are laying off of it a little bit more. He has actually walked human beings. He's facing Tyler Wells, a guy I know very little to nothing about, a right-handed pitcher with a 3.86 ERA, very few strikeouts for the Baltimore Orioles. Blake Murphy, how are you feeling about tonight's game? Am I placing my money in the right place? Because it feels like yes.
Yeah, definitely. And this, I was actually pretty surprised the Jays team total is only 4.5. So that looks like a potential play as well. So Tyler Wells, look, he's kind of the type of guy you've gotten used to this last little bit. Like, he's a typical, I know the Orioles are in the AL East, but he's an AL Central pitcher. He doesn't walk a ton of guys, but he also doesn't miss a ton of bats, even though he's like 6'8", 260. Like, this dude makes Manoah look small, but doesn't miss bats in the way you'd expect a huge dude to miss bats. We saw him 6 times last year, actually, out of the bullpen for the Orioles. Not very effective. He had a 10.80 ERA against the Jays in those 6 relief appearances. And the Jays still on the roster have hit 3.89 off of him with almost no strikeouts. So all small samples individually. But again, a guy who doesn't miss a lot of bats. And that's been catnip for the Jays so far this year and especially recently. So feels like an over 4.5 day on the Jays total.
It's funny because -275 on the money line looks friendly for the Jays, given what it has been throughout the series, right? Where you've been seeing these massive swollen numbers of in the -3-somethings. So yeah, I'm playing the run line tonight. I'm playing the Jays win by 1.5 runs at -120. I probably will play that as well. If you recall, yesterday I gave the Jays will score first and win prop, which got a little dicey, but it was ultimately correct. I should have just made it my Wake and Rake pick. But yeah, I'm going to play that again tonight. I think that this is going to continue. I think that the Jays score first in this one, and I think that they end up winning this ball game, and you get that at a plus number. So I'm playing this all kinds of different ways. I'm also going to bet the under on the Orioles team runs tonight. I just think this is a get-right game for Kevin Gausman, and that, I don't like the Orioles lineup. If they can just navigate Ryan Mountcastle, Blair was criticizing that move. I completely agree with him. I think that's going to be a little bit of a wake-up call for them, maybe in some of these spots. But I would anticipate Gausman going deep into this ball game, shutting down the Orioles, and the Blue Jays end up winning in a rout tonight. That's just the way I feel about this one. It's home. It's nice. It's a dirty, muggy night down at the ballpark. I'm going to go there and stick to all the other people in that
game.
Yeah,
that dome's going to be closing up before that game starts, I think, because it is gross out there and it looks like it's going to pour.
Okay, some of the things that I definitely have circled for tonight's game, Jays over 4.5 runs is actually my wake and rake pick, so you guys threw that out early. I love it. -136, I think that it's lower than it has been, which is strange. Their over was 5.5, which hit the other day, so I'm very happy to have it even at 4.5. So that's going to be my wake and rake, but I love how Vladdy's been playing as of late. A couple good things on that.
I think, Blake, you lost your feed or you muted.
Yeah, I saw Blake talking, but he wasn't talking. I like Vladdy over 1.5 hits, plus money. He's been on a hitting streak. He's hit that for the last couple games at least. Plus 195 for Vladdy over 1.5 hits. Really like that one, and I really like Vladdy over 1.5 bases, which is pretty much a lock at -122. But a value one is the plus money on over hits. I really like that.
Okay. All right, so what's your official wake and rake one, though? Because you said a
Jays over. Well, I said it was Jays over 4.5 runs, but the other two that I would play as player props were the Vladdy ones. I think he's going to continue looking like an MVP caliber player.
Yeah, I'm going to be dumping a ton of cash on tonight's game on about everything. So, yeah, I'm with you. The NBA Finals, Game 6 tonight. Blake Murphy. The Boston Celtics are 4-point favorites. I think that the winner in the series has covered every single time. I think that's correct. The Celtics are -167 on the money line. The total is 210, so a little bit lower scoring tonight is what the book is expecting. Do you anticipate this thing is over, or does Boston stretch this out? And if they do we keep with the trend of the team that wins covers?
Yeah, you're right that it's happened every single time. These games have all felt really close, and then in the last couple minutes of the fourth quarter, teams have kind of pulled away. This is a tough one to bet for me because I just really want it to go seven. I don't know how much of that is me thinking it actually will go seven. I'd lean Celtics, but it's probably a stay away and play the prop game night for me.
Okay. I like the Celtics tonight. I think this is a bit of a bet with my heart as well, and that's why I'm not going to, this is like a half unit bet to me, this is a sprinkle, this is not an official show play, it's just more of a lean. I just think Boston's the better team, and even if you look at the series, okay, like the games that Golden State has won, because I think a lot is being made of, oh, well, the Warriors won that game without amazing Steph, and that's true, but I also look at that as, Draymond had his best game of the series. Wiggins had his best game of the series. Klay had his best game of the series. Like, go on down the line to the Warriors. Outside of Otto Porter, every single one of their depth players showed up and gave them something. That's usually what happens at home. I think for the Boston Celtics, in order for them to win, they're going to need more contributions from some of their depth guys. They're going to need Derek White, to score some baskets. They need him. He's been a ghost since game one. They're going to need Al Horford to knock down some open threes. They're going to need some just presence from other players than Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, because to me it's become quite clear that if those two guys are the entire formula, then the formula is not going to work out. They're going to cause too many turnovers, or they're going to end up with too many turnovers. We've all seen the statistic. They're going to lose the ball game. I just think that Boston is the better team. They're the deeper team. They're great defensively. They have been a phenomenal home team all season long. Their backs are against the wall. They'll find a way to get this thing done. And if you're going to bet Boston, I think that you just back the -4. I also think there's going to be a small part of the Warriors where if this game does start to get out of hand, not that they'll ever go away. Like, we've seen them come back against a million teams. It's the era of three-point shooting, all that different stuff. But
and their third quarters.
I just think it's human nature. No. Third quarter games are not over. I'm talking about like fourth quarter, six minutes left if this thing is kind of trending towards being done. I think that they will know that they'll have an incredible opportunity still to close at home in front of their crowd in a game seven. Like, they're not going to press. They're not going to be overly concerned about it. So, yeah, I like Boston tonight for a lot of different reasons, but the primary one being I like role players more at home in the playoffs time and time again, and I think Boston's proven that they need those guys in order to win these games.
I got to say, I'm on the other side of you guys. I really think that Golden State gets it done tonight. I think that Steph's going to have a big game, especially because of his little bit of a blip. I like his over points, which is, I think, considerably low, 28.5. So minus 134 for that. I think that that's a play for me. And I also like Curry to get more points than Jason Tatum, which is minus 125. I like that one. I think that Curry's going to have a big night tonight. I think that the Golden State Warriors are the better team as of late. And I know that maybe coming into the series, we thought the Celtics were, but I feel confident about it. And obviously, my mom is a huge Golden State Warriors fan. So Team Sophie, right?
My favorite bet from this series is back, the Steph over 4.5 threes. It went up to 5.5 last game, so I steered off of it. Thankfully, I didn't think he was going to have zero. I just thought 5.5 was a ridiculous line. Mm-hmm. It's back down to over 4.5 at minus 130. He hit
but don't you think his points is low?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. His threes went back down too.
Right. So I'm just saying.
His points have been over 30 for the most part in the series. So, and he's hit the over on 28.5 in four of the five games.
Mm-hmm. So I really like the bet of Curry minus 125, or I prefer Curry minus 125 than the over. I just think that if you are betting he has more points than Tatum, then he's probably going to be over 27 points, because like Tatum hit 27 last game. I don't know. Like, maybe he tries to press and he goes for 30, but that hasn't been the Tatum that we've seen so far in the series. And I think that if you're betting that over Steph number, that the smarter way to play it is that he beats Tatum and you're getting a little bit better value there. So I do like that one. Last time I gave you Wiggins double-double because it was plus 375. The value is now officially erased. It's plus 175 for him to record a double-double. That being said, I still do... I still do think that it is worth a bet, because I just think that the rebounding element of Wiggins' game in this series is not going anywhere. It's clearly an important dynamic of it, and I do believe that they will continue to kind of go away from Draymond Green in some of these spots if they need to, and that he will continue to be a guy that crashes both the offensive and the defensive glass. But either way, I hope you're wrong, Ailish. I'd like a game seven in the series. I'd like all that.
I have the feeling.
Would you? Do you really want to get all those texts from your mom about how much she hates the Boston Celtics?
She's already actually just texted me. She goes, right on.
Yeah, exactly. Right on. See, that's the gambler that you're angling towards.
She goes, they don't know what they are talking about. Go Warriors.
We don't. I think that's pretty clear. We just went over 3 in the Wicked Rake after 3-0. Okay, so that's that. Warriors tonight. I hope it ends up being. Before we get into our best bets, I want to do quickly Ailish's F1 weekend props. What do you have for us?
Me? God, I don't know. I you know what I don't know is if I have a vested interest in somebody winning. Like, I tried thinking about that and who I really want to take home the title. Like, I just want it to be awesome. It's my first experience. I don't really know what to expect. I know everyone says it's going to be loud, but I'm really excited to go. I'm actually going to go Saturday as well, and I'm going to go Sunday to the race. So maybe by Saturday I'll have like an inkling, but it's the first time in 3 years that the Grand Prix has been here. I just think that Montreal is going to be so much fun. I don't really have any like specific props that I know I usually do, but Unibet has F1 lines for this. I saw it earlier. Saturday qualification, they have the race. Who's going to win? Max Verstappen is minus 118 to win. I don't know. Do you guys? I don't have a vibe on who I want to win.
I meant more.
Is that
your
a weird feeling?
Props. I thought that you had done something for Ailish, like eating her loony dogs, or Ailish at the wedding.
Well, I don't know what to expect at the race. Like, is there loony dogs? How much money are you going to spend? We could do an over on money for sure, because there's so many pieces of merch that I'm going to purchase for people. We talked about at the top of the show that it's not going to be a cheap weekend. Who knows how much a water is there? Mm-hmm. So over on what, $200 spent at the racetrack?
Probably smash that.
Yeah, Blake's putting his thumb up.
That's an easy, easy, easy over.
We are also going to this like massive after party thing on Saturday, which has T-Pain performing. So there's just a whole lot of fun to be had.
T-Pain. Okay, yeah. I love the artist that Canada gets for these things. But yes, all right, T-Pain, right on. Okay. All right, my best bet. I hinted at it earlier, but yes, I am not deviating from it. Texas has been better lately, okay? Our guy Marcus Semien has been more himself. I really think Martin Perez is in for a, oh my God, nightmare game that normalizes him. That it's on the horizon somewhere, because again, the guy's got a 2.18 ERA, and Martin Perez isn't new, you know, like he's been around and he's never been this guy. And so usually in baseball, you go watch for this. Like, he's been pitching since 2012 and he's never been, close to this. Like his ERA last year was 4.74. Now it's 2.18. Either way, I don't think that the team that's going to do it to him is this Detroit Tigers group. Like yesterday they faced a pitcher in Velasquez who was coming off of an injury and who's a career like around 5-ish ERA guy, couldn't score a run, couldn't put ABs together. They're just horrendous. Like they are just an awful team to watch, and there's really nothing to like about them other than their bullpen. So I'm always a little scared if they're able to put up a lead against a team like Texas, because they don't need a ton of runs to support a victory here. Like they could go up 2-3-0, whatever. But I just think that on the money line, being able to grab value, which is, I just close it because I have NBA, but I think it's -141. Hold on, let me get it back up here.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's -141 just for a money line win for the Texas Rangers. That's what I'm going to be playing, -141. I also think that there's probably a little bit of value on the Tigers under in their terms of their full game props. I wish you could always bet those first five, because I don't trust Texas's bullpen as much, so that's why it's not the official pick. But yeah, I'm just going to back a guy who's having an all-star season, who's having a career season against a team that is, again, the worst hitting team in baseball. It doesn't matter which side of the plate. I have no faith in this Tigers team right now. I'm going to continue to fade them.
All right. So Rangers on the money line is the official Wake and Rake pick?
Correct.
All right. I'm going to the National League. We're going to go with Padres -0.5 on the five inning line. So you gotta win it. No push. No push there. Even with that, it's -155. Joe Musgrove against Swarmer, Matt Swarmer, is the biggest pitching gap on the board today. Swarmer doesn't have a lot of sample, but projection-wise, this is...
I have a sample of Swarmer as a guy who bet on a first five under involving him because he had started his Cubs career very well. And I thought, you know what? The Yankees
six runs against...
Yeah.
Hey, reminder for any under Blue Jays fans coming off of 20 games in a row against the AL Central and the Baltimore Orioles. And I don't want to be negative about our guy Ross Stripling, but you're coming off two amazing starts against bad teams. Yeah. Stats, small sample stats do not sustain against the New York Yankees. Do not bet Matt Swarmer against the New York Yankees in his third career start.
Okay, Blake, in my defense, betting – okay, this is why – all right, so Matt Swarmer earlier this week, he's facing the Yankees, and I believe it was I don't know. It's one of the Yankee stars I really like, who I think is underrated. I look at this line, and I go – all right, this makes sense. This is a good line. I didn't make an official Wake and Rake pick, but yeah. I thought...
It was Montgomery, by the way.
It was Montgomery, yeah. So I'm thinking to myself, I don't like the Cubs, because the Cubs are basically just Wilson Contreras and then, you know, Patrick Wisdom, and that's it. And then the rest of their lineup is like Yan Gomes DHs for them in the year of our Lord 2022. I read up about Swarmer, and Cubs fans were giving him the, like, this guy's got a wipeout slider. He might be a guy. And I'm thinking, is there a little value on this? I bet it under 5.5, 6 solo home runs. Painful, 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 painful loss for me that night. So, yeah, I'm happily going to be backing you this evening facing Matt Swarmer.
Yeah, here's a note to Cubs fans. If your hot pitching prospect has a wipeout slider, but it doesn't miss a ton of bats at AAA, your pitching prospect doesn't have a wipeout slider. It's got to miss bats in the minors if you want it to miss bats. I know he's had a pretty good swing strike rates, but not elite strikeout rates. I don't know. Maybe Swarmer's a guy. He's also a 28-year-old rookie. There's obviously he did – that was his fourth year in AAA. It's not a guy, in my estimation – this is more of a bet on Musgrove against the Cubs offense, and then I'm giving up the half point just to get the value there. So it's the San Diego Padres minus 0.5 on the five-inning line. If you're betting on Unibet, that'll be as a three-way is how you can find that one. When you look under the five-inning line, it won't be minus 0.5. What you'll see is a first five innings – three-way, and you pick.
And what's the line?
It is, it just went down, but it was minus 155.
Okay, so what is it? It's minus 155?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's minus 155. So that's your Wake and Rake today. Blake is backing Joe Musgrove, who has been an absolute stud against Matt Swarmer, who just gave up a ton of bombs, a ton of solo shots. I am fading the Detroit Tigers, a team that has been absolutely dreadful, the worst hitting team in baseball, unable to come up with a run yesterday. Toronto Blue Jays fans just got to look at them, so it is a reminder of just how bad this team can be. By the way, if you'd like to know specifically, like, they got a 590 OPS the last month, like 590. They're basically a backup catcher at the dish right now. Like, they are just not impressive whatsoever. I am fading them thanks to Martin Perez, who is having a career season in a Rangers team that's starting to show signs of life, especially at the top of their order with Marcus Semien and Corey Seager starting to normalize and show the baseball players that they are. And Ailish Forfar is backing this Toronto Blue Jays offense against another Baltimore Orioles nobody to score over 4.5 runs. And I will be at the ballpark tonight. I will be...
this afternoon. Make sure you get there on time.
Day game.
It's 3:07 start.
Listen,
what's your over-under on beers, JD?
I'm not going to have a lot because there's NBA finals tonight.
Yeah, but it's a long time in between. Take a power nap.
There's not a long time in between, though. You're gonna have to thread that. I'm factoring in that I have post game duties. So I've got to thread the needle more carefully.
Yeah.
Our Wake and Rake is plus 563. By the way.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay, that is the Wake and Rake. We'll be back tomorrow without Ailish Forfar. She will be in Montreal partying her face off. Enjoy your time at I can't remember. It's like Flo Rida. Oh no, it's T-Pain.
Enjoy. Gotta say, T-Pain when he turns the auto tune off, one of the best concerts I've ever seen.
I'll ask him. I'll request.
He is legitimately an incredible, incredible singer when he ditches the autotune.
Huh.
Okay. Classic hipster Blake Murphy music take.
Yeah, he knows.
Better know. Professional voice modulator. He's not. He's better without
it. He's listened to his tiny desk concert for sure.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. We'll see you tomorrow. It's JD, Blake, and Ailish. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.